You are listening to the New Vision Church podcast, a community to belong, be loved, and believe.
Well, thank you, team. I'll let you guys have a seat. If you will, just turn your Bible to Matthew 14. We're going to look there for a couple moments. And I just want to share a few thoughts with you about what happens next. Where the theme for today is investing and to continue on investing. And one of the things that we've got to understand is that God kind of expects us to invest. He expects us to give. He expects us to go. He expects us to send. He expects us to pray. He expects us to do a lot of things. And I think what we've got to ask ourselves is, are we doing those things? Right? I know that it can be one of those things in our hearts and minds to say, oh, well, you know, well, you're called to missions or you're called to this. I think there are certain callings that certain people have, but we can't ignore the commands. And so sometimes we're going to say, oh, well, that's your calling. Well, let me remind you, as John alluded to, Matthew 28 is a command to all disciples. So it's not about just your calling, it's a command. And sometimes God's going to give us command. You know why? Because we're not going to follow our calling. Right? So God's going to tell you to do something because we want to just do what we feel comfortable doing. But sometimes we have to be willing to step outside of those comfort zones or those areas that we feel like, this is easier for me. So in Matthew 14, verse number 16, right? This is the feeding of the 5,000. I shared some of these kind of thoughts with the team right before we left, and I just want to expound on this just for a few moments. Jesus is about to feed them, and of course, the disciples turned to Jesus and said, where are we going to get money for all this? You know, just send the people away, let them get food in some other town, and kind of let us go our way. You know, we got things to do too. And Jesus turns it on them and says, no, you give them something to eat. Now, you can imagine that if you've got it in your mind already, hey, you know, we've done our part. We're good. Jesus, we've been serving the people all day. Now, send them away so they can get some food. We're all tired. Let them go take care of it themselves, you know. We'll take care of ourselves. And Jesus says, no, you give them something to eat. Jesus, we don't have anything. We don't have anything. Now, this is what you got to understand. Jesus already knew what he was going to do. There's another passage in John chapter 6 that tells us that, right? He already knew what he was going to do. He's saying this to test them. So we got to understand that sometimes Jesus is going to say something to you, right? And you need to pass the test. Now, let's be honest. We don't always like tests. But a test is not given to you so that you would fail. I know some of y'all think your teacher is just trying to make you fail. No, your teacher gives you a test so they can see what you know. If you don't know the answer, well, then you get it wrong. But you know why you got it wrong? It's probably not because the teacher didn't teach you. It's because you didn't learn. It's because you didn't study. And so Jesus, he says this to them to test them, and they're about to fail. Where can we get bread enough for them to eat? How are we supposed to do this? Well, see, what they didn't realize is they had the bread of life right there. You see, a lot of times we're trying to come up with our own way of doing things. Oh, you know, I don't have anything in my hand. Do you have Jesus? See, sometimes we're missing the most important thing. And so here's Jesus. He says, what do you have? And they still missed it. We got a boy, he's got, you know, a few loaves and some bread, but what is that among so many? Jesus is like, hello, McFly, you got me. And they still missed it. So Jesus said, have them all sit down. And then he took the fish and the loaves, he broke it, he blessed it, and he distributed it. But how did he distribute it? What does Scripture say there? Giving it to his disciples. He gave it to his disciples, and they gave it to the people. Jesus has put something in your hands. He's given you something. And he's expecting you not to keep it for yourself, but to give it away. He has broken it and blessed it, and now he's given it to you, and he expects you to do something with it. So you can imagine, there's over 5,000 people there. That's just the men. It's probably upwards of 15,000, maybe even as many as 17,000, right? When you think about the children that would have been there. So Jesus, the Bible tells us in that passage in John 6, right? He has compassion for the people. And so Jesus says, no, I don't want to send them away hungry. I want to feed them so that they don't go away and faint. But in order for this to happen, disciples, you're going to do something. You're going to get involved. We've got to be involved. If we're going to reach the nations, if we're going to reach other people, we've got to understand that God has given something, he's put it in our hands, but he's expecting you to distribute it. Jesus didn't say, oh, okay, boys, I got this. Y'all have a seat. And he didn't run around to 17,000 people feeding them. He said, I got 12 disciples right here. I'm going to put it in your hands. And you know what? You're going to feed the 17,000 people. Boy, they got their steps in. Right? And see, they were thinking, man, you know, I'm tired too. Boy, haven't we said that? Man, I'm tired too. I've done my time. Listen. If you're still here, God ain't done with you. So don't say you've done your time. Don't say, oh, I'm going to leave that to the next generation. Nope. Because if you're still alive, God still wants to use you. And he's put something in your hands, and you need to do something with it. And so they give it out. They disperse it. And this is one of the things I want you to remember today. This discipleship happens when we invest in others. Discipleship happens when we actually invest in others. We don't keep what we have. We share what we have. We give what we have so that others may succeed. When was the last time that you invested something for the success, not of yourself, but for someone else? You see, discipleship, the only way we can truly measure discipleship is if my disciple actually makes disciples. It's a long process. And so what happens is that a lot of church people get frustrated and they get burned out, or they get, you know, weary because they don't see the fruit. This is why you got to have faith. Right? To continue on means that you've got to have more faith even when you don't see the fruit. And I've said this before, I'll say it again. Your faithfulness will lead to fruitfulness. But you've got to have faith. And you got to keep giving, you got to keep investing even when you don't see the fruit. Listen, if I planted an orange tree out there and I went, you know, a few months from now and I didn't see any fruit and I just started digging up the root, do you think I'm going to see any fruit? No. Sometimes you just got to wait for the right season. Okay? And so don't get impatient. Don't get frustrated when you don't see the fruit. You just keep being faithful. Keep giving and giving and giving. And trust that God is the one who's going to meet your need. And he's actually going to meet other people's need, maybe through you. So discipleship happens when we continue to invest in others. But sometimes it's not going to be easy, right? Can you imagine having to go around and feed 17,000 people after you're weary and tired? And you got to keep going? You're like, oh, you know, what do we got? We still got 12,000 more to go. Oh, wow, right? And it's like, is this going to run out? And Jesus just keeps multiplying, and he keeps putting it in your hands, And listen, God has been putting things in your hands. And I want to tell you this, that if God has been faithful to you over the years, you need to be more faithful with what he's given you. Okay? Sometimes, and this is, you know, I'm not talking about tithing necessarily today, but this is an illustration that's worked in my life, right? A long time, I just gave 10%. You know, I've upped it up now. You know why? because God's been faithful to me for 10% for a long time. And so it's easy right now to give 10% because I've been giving 10%. So it's like, okay, God, how much more do you want me to give? So now I give God more. And you know what? I ain't missed it because God is faithful. And so what you've got to understand is this, is that maybe you need to change your baseline. And maybe you need to say, okay, God, I'm going to trust you with more because you've been faithful at this limit. So now I'm going to trust you because, well, God, you're always faithful. And by the way, let me just say thank you for being so faithful in giving. You know, you heard Mark update us last week or 2 weeks ago. The church is doing great. Man, God has blessed us. And you know, there are some things, there are some ideas that we've been talking about that we could do with this property back here. And you know what? I don't want to say it to you because some of y'all will be like, ain't no way. But listen, right? Y'all heard me say this before. I don't want us to be like every other church. We're not trying to be like every other church. We're just trying to do God's mission with what God has given us to do. And sometimes that's going to look maybe vastly different than every other church, but that's okay, right? And so investing isn't always money. It can be time. It can be advice. It can be opportunities. It can be opportunities. One of the ways that I'm and have been trying to make disciples of all nations is that I disciple people. I have them come and stay with me. We do internships, if you want to call it that. And so we're down there, you know, in El Salvador, and we meet this guy, Mauricio. I met him a couple of years ago. He was helping us with some interpretation on another project, whatever. So he shows up, and we just start talking. And towards the end of the trip, I'm like, hey, you want to come to America? He's like, yeah. I'm like, got your passport? He's like, yeah. I was like, all right, when you want to come? And he's coming this Wednesday. Because I'm just like, look, I ain't wasting no time, right? I'm like, man, if you're serious, if you want to come, right, I'll help you get here. So I wrote him a letter, right, helped him get his plane ticket, and he's going to be here on Wednesday. And so what I'm saying to you is, right, I know everybody can't do that. I got it. Everybody can't do that. But you can do something. You can create an opportunity for someone. Okay? And that's all I'm doing for Mauricio. Whatever he does with it while he's here, well, that's up to him. But he can't say he didn't have a chance. Right? And so up until this point, maybe he didn't, but he didn't realize he was going to meet me. Right? He didn't realize how easy it would be. And I think that's one of the things that he's like, wow, you've made this so easy. And sometimes maybe that's all you need to do is just make it a little bit easier for somebody. Just open the door. Just help someone, right, succeed. Sometimes it's all about us succeeding, right? Oh, I want to get more. I want to be more successful. Maybe discipleship is about you making others successful. So let me ask you, can you create an opportunity for someone else to succeed? Can you open the door for someone else? You see, the disciples had their own basket. At the end of that little section, you'll see that they had 12 baskets full. And there were 12 disciples. So that meant each one had their own basket they had to carry. Now, we don't know what they did with that, but I can pretty much say with reasonable thoughtfulness that they didn't eat it themselves. They probably gave it away. They probably dispersed it along the way. 12 baskets full, that's a lot of bread. And so I can imagine that Jesus has had them carry these 12 baskets, and they are carrying it, and each step they're thinking, wow, I didn't know we were going to have this much bread. I didn't know we were going to have all this left over. You see, sometimes we think, oh, Jesus is going to just provide enough. I guarantee you, when God provides, it's usually more than enough. Amen? It's more than enough because He is more than enough. And He gave them more than enough. And as they're carrying it every step, they're thinking, wow, this is heavy. Right? Wasn't expecting to carry a basket full of bread. But what am I going to do with this bread? And so the Lord blesses you with more, not so you can just keep it for yourself, but so that you can be a blessing to others. You see, it's up to us to invest what God has given us. And I don't know, you know, I'd like to think the disciples, you know, as they were walking along with some bread, they came across some people. Hey, man, you want some bread? We got a lot. We got more than enough. Let me share some with you. And as they walk along, they're distributing this bread, and the miracle continues because they had something to give. So it goes back to Jesus saying, you give them something to eat. But it came from the Lord in the first place. And that's what we've got to remember, is that whatever we have, James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow of turning. Right? So that means that if he has been faithful to you, he's going to be faithful to you again in the future. You can trust him with what he has given to you. And so as disciples who are seeking to make disciples, let me wrap up our time today by saying that we all have the opportunity to make a difference. We all have the opportunity to give in some way. God has blessed each and every one of us. You live in America. You have access to a lot of things that the rest of the world does not have. You have opportunities unmatched. And so I want to encourage you to prayerfully consider how God has blessed you and what he's put in your hands. Listen, I'm just one guy who knows a little bit of sign language. That's it. I wouldn't say I'm a great speaker. I wouldn't say I'm a great performer or signer. I don't know anything. Many of you know a lot more than me. Many of you are much more gifted and talented than me. And God can use you greatly if you'll just give him what little bit you've got. That's all I've tried to do. And God has blessed it. I can't take any credit for it. Everything that God has done has been because God has done it. People still, they're like, when are you ever going to learn Spanish? I'm like, never. I ain't putting in tons of Rosetta Stone. No, you know. They're like, oh, man, you've been coming here for like 20-some years. You don't know anything except Buenos Dias. I'm like, yep. I'm keeping the interpreters employed, right? So, you know, the thing about it is that don't feel like, you know, you've got to have all this stuff and all this preparation and all this knowledge to go. You just have to have the right heart. You just got to be willing, as we sang that song, and band, you guys come on up, right? Here I am. I'm available. I've told y'all this before. The only reason I ended up with a ministry in Nigeria is because the guy who came and he talked about the wells and he talked about all this stuff in our church. And then he said, who'll go? And I was the only guy that raised his hand. And I'm like, did the rest of my church know I was going to be the only one raising my hand? And so I went, and I've been 13 sometimes to Nigeria. And it's all because I said, yes, I'll go. El Salvador, all because I said, yes, I'll go. I'll go. Spent 3 days down there, and those 3 days led to 20-some years of ministry. And everything that you see through these pictures and through these testimonies has just been because somebody said, hey, man, I'd like to take you down there. Will you go? And I said, yeah, I'll go. They paid for the trip for me. We spent 3 days down there, and then I came back, and I said, hey, we'll bring a team. And the first year, we took 23 people down there. And I was thinking about it the other day about, you know, how many people have been. I don't know how many people have been there. I don't keep track of all that stuff. I probably should, but it's probably, you know, over 150 people that we've taken down there on mission trips whose lives have been affected and changed simply because I said, yeah, I'll go. And so think about how God could use you. If you just say, yeah, God, whatever, I'm available. I may not be able to do everything, but God, here's one thing I can do. Here's something you've put in my hands, God, and so you want me to do something with it. I can't hold on to it. Because we all know, the Bible says this, he who holds his life will lose it, but he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the stories we've heard today. We thank you for the work that you've done. And God, it is your work. You've called us and told us to give the people something to eat. And so, God, we know that you're not going to tell us to do something that we can just do on our own. You're actually going to call us to do something we can't do without you. And so here are the disciples, and they say, what can we do? We don't have enough for all these people. And God, when I think about it, it's like, yeah, what can we do? We don't have enough for all of these ministries. We don't have enough for all these things that we would dream of, even here in our own community. But God, we've got you, and you're more than enough. And you can take whatever little bit we have and multiply it to be a blessing. And so, God, we're asking you to do that. That God, if you can use me, if you can use anyone in this church, that God, you would use us to make a difference here and around the world. God, because you are the bread of life, you are the supplier, the provider. You're Jehovah Jireh. You're the omnipotent God, the God who knows all things. And God, we know that you know every person that we minister to down there. And so today we pray, God, that you would speak to their hearts once again and remind them that you are the God who sees. But Lord, I know there's people in this room too who might feel like you don't see them. But God, I pray that today they would know that you see them, and I pray that they would see you. Minister to our hearts, God. Continue to challenge and inspire us. Help us to become the people that you want us to be. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.